This is the Sunday Spin on 720 WGN. Once again, here's Rick Pearson of the Chicago Tribune.
Welcome back to your Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson here in the Allstate Skyline studio. Democratic Governor J.B. Pritzker held his first budget speech last week. It was a combination budget and state of the state message. And Pritzker used the speech to basically try to set the stage for consideration of a plan to change the Illinois state constitution and impose a graduated rate income tax. Now the constitution requires a flat rate tax.
Ultimately, our chief responsibility to the people of Illinois is to set this state on a path to sustainable growth with an income tax system that is fair. It is not fair that I pay the same tax rate as a teacher, a child care worker, a police officer, or a nurse. And efforts to simply increase the income tax rate across the board fuels further income inequality and kicks the can down the road for our children and grandchildren to solve our ongoing budget issues. The state needs a fair tax, and I am going to be relentless in pursuing one over the next 2 years.
Joining me now on the phone is a good friend of the program, Brian Mackey, State House correspondent for NPR Illinois and WUIS-FM in Springfield. Brian, good morning.
Good morning, Rick. How are you?
I'm good. How about you?
Can't complain, although just trying to batten myself down here, so I'm just blown away.
One of those winds
inside could, and outside.
You might get a sale. That'd probably be the quickest trip you ever made to Chicago, you know? So I wanted to just, what was your initial impression from this speech?
Well, I think you said it right, and this is what the governor says. This is a speech that kind of is placing a very big bet on his ability to get a progressive income tax, not only through the General Assembly, where the Democrats have supermajorities now, so one presumes that maybe is not going to be the biggest impediment, but then also getting it approved by voters in 2020. After opposition groups and supporting groups are presumably going to be spending millions and millions of dollars because, as you said, in order to change the Illinois Constitution from a flat tax to allow this graduated or progressive income tax where the wealthy pay a higher rate, the voters have to approve that. And so this is going to be, we presume, an epic battle leading into the 2020 election.
Yeah, and I mean, given what's on the ballot in Illinois in 2020, obviously a presidential year, there will be some congressional races, Dick Durbin's up for re-election, but I think we're going to see perhaps the biggest dark money battle that ever existed over a graduated rate income tax amendment if it gets on the ballot. And you know, as you say, yes, Democrats have super majorities, and their majorities are big enough that they can put that on the ballot with Democratic votes alone. Certainly, we've heard from the Republicans that they're not supportive of it. But I still, part of me still questions Mike Madigan and the desire to protect his members and protect his majority. He doesn't have a lot of room to play with to let people off the hook on this, to put it on the ballot.
Yeah, because of the supermajority vote requirement, they only have three votes above that, I think.
Right, so 74.
It is a sticky thing. Although it is, you know, past I'm of two minds on this because polling that I've seen from the Paul Simon Public Policy Institute in Southern Illinois University, which is a reputable organization, they do surveys every year, so they have over time, and it is consistently shown that the idea of a the wealthy paying a higher tax rate is popular, not only statewide, where it's overwhelmingly popular, but even people who identify as Republicans and conservatives support, a majority of them support this idea. But of course, what we know from political science research is that as issues become more real, so to speak, right, as this becomes a real possibility, people tend to go to their partisan corners. And so you could see that support falling off. However, Illinois is an overwhelmingly blue state, particularly in presidential election years. So that suggests that, you know, as long as the Democrats can stay united behind this idea, they've got a reasonable chance of getting it through. And that, as to get back to the budget, that is everything, because this budget has some new tax revenues that it's counting on. It's got some what some people call pixie dust, right, where you just hope that just the existing tax structure will bring in more money, maybe the higher minimum wage that the Democrats push through. People will start getting paid more, and then they'll pay more taxes to the state government. It's got a lot of this kind of bent coat hangers, scotch tape, and chewing gum holding it together until this graduated income tax would be passed.
Well, I think in one story I said it, rather than using smoke and mirrors, it was hope and prayers in this
thing. Yeah.
Still, you know, I saw that Pritzker was at the Chicago Sun-Times editorial board and says he wants lawmakers to vote on putting this on the 2020 ballot before the end of May in the spring session. Normally it's done in the same year that it appears on the ballot. And I'm of two minds of this, too, is, you know, if they do approve it to put it on the ballot, you're also giving the opponents more time to contest this. And you also have, you know, we'll presumably know, because Pritzker has said he wouldn't move forward until we know what the rates are going to be. So we'll know who gets hit on this. It just seems like a lot of time for, you know, these, and there's dark money groups on both sides. Pritzker's helped funding a supportive group, but it seems like a lot of time for that campaign to be waged. And I don't know that that means success or not.
Yeah, and this is just one of a number of many issues that he is going to be pursuing, including legalization of cannabis for recreational purposes, sports betting, and making that legal in Illinois without, as he said in his speech, without going through the usual sort of Christmas tree approach that happens with gambling legislation, where the casinos want a piece and the video gaming interests want a piece and the horse racing interests want a piece. So this is, he has a lot of things that he is trying to get done at once, and you know, it's going to be a challenge to get all this stuff through and keep his eye on the ball and try and get it all passed.
We're speaking with Brian Mackey, State House correspondent for NPR Illinois and WUISFM in Springfield. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin. Welcome back to the Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson here in the Allstate Skyline Studio. Joining me on the phone is Brian Mackey, State House correspondent from NPR Illinois and WUISFM in Springfield. We're talking about new Governor J.B. Pritzker's first budget address. And Brian kind of touched on it when he talked about things that he's counting on, and you mentioned legalizing marijuana, you mentioned sports betting, and you noted how he tried to say we could do sports betting and not get embroiled in the traditional gambling expansion kind of talk. And it's here to me that comes from your hope and prayers kind of line here, that it's always going to get involved into that kind of machinery. And in fact, people who are supportive of legalizing sports betting have said this might be the rare exception where everybody can, all of those interests, casinos, the video gaming folks, the horse racetracks, they could all get a piece of this.
Yeah, and maybe that will make this better. I noticed that part of the speech where he talked about, you know, so often when we have discussions of gambling in this state, it gets bogged down in these interests, and there's a Christmas tree approach.
Right, a casino here, a casino there.
Yeah, exactly. And the last one was a real monster, but it was going to have five casinos and, you know, all spread across different parts of the state. And I mean, that's been something that's been discussed for years now and has not been able to get through. But there's a reason that things are like that. And it occurred to me that, you know, you can talk about it and decry that situation, but that doesn't mean you can just kind of wish it away.
Right.
Because there are so much money in these interest groups, and like you said, they all want a piece of it. Maybe sports betting is the one thing where they can set aside their other differences and agree on this, but nobody wants to see their revenue go down. And, you know, gambling is, you know, could be approaching a point, traditional gambling anyway, where there's saturation. I've talked to people in the video gaming industry, and they say that you know, they think that the market's going to have to shake out in some way because there's been so much expansion. There was a report from the state legislature late last year, that said there's enough video gaming terminals spread out in bars and restaurants and little strip malls across the state that is the equivalent of 24 land-based casinos in Illinois.
Amazing.
Now, we're supposed to have 10 casinos based on our licenses, and then we have another 24's worth of video gaming terminals just spread everywhere. So the industry is probably going to shake out, and I think that's a concern as to whether it's hitting a saturation point.
Right, and so we had Pritzker actually expecting some revenues from sports betting, largely, I believe, $212 million, $200 million from the sale of $10 million licenses, 20
yeah,
licenses.
This is one thing that's actually probably like a prudent thing to do is in the same thing with cannabis, not necessarily counting on revenue from the activity so much as just revenue from issuing the licenses for the activity from these business interests that want to get in on this kind of thing.
But to me, and I think it's true with both of these, is, you know, sure, it can pass and probably, you know, legal sports betting, legal marijuana, but then you've got, you know, all of the administrative issues.
And this can take a long time. Right. I mean, how many years have we included the sale of the Thompson Center in the state budget now? $280-$300 million. This is at least the two previous budget years, including the one we're in now, that has been something that came up in these proposals and ultimately was passed as something that we would get the money from, but then we've never actually followed through with it. And so that's the question. There was the same thing last year. There was a deal to let certain people who wanted to buy their get a lump sum settlement from the state pension systems. Well, that program is beginning to be implemented, but I don't think any money has actually been saved yet. So there are always implementation delays, and you have to go through regulatory approvals. One imagines, particularly with marijuana legalization, you could have multiple state agencies involved there, the Department of Agriculture regulating the growers, public health could get involved, the state police. So there's just all kinds of rules and regulations that are going to have to be done that can delay these things. And so counting on them to balance the budget is a speculative prospect at best.
Well, I did note on Twitter that with Snoop Dogg being announced as the headliner at the Illinois State Fair, that this no doubt would tend to try to quicken that push by Pritzker for legalization of marijuana.
Could he do a bill signing at the Snoop Dogg concert?
Well, and it is. It's, and the State Fair, we know, is all about the agriculture, right? So
that's right.
We could maybe rent the Sky Cars going back and forth and just get that contact kind of high over the Illinois State Fair. Other things that the governor proposed as revenue raising, a nickel per bag tax. Statewide for plastic bags. Obviously, Chicago has its 7-cent tax. Other municipalities, some other municipalities have such a thing. I'm curious how that plays, you know, particularly downstate.
Yeah, I don't know about other downstate communities. We do not have that here in Springfield. That'd be a better question for you, how it's played in Chicago. I know the few times I've been in Chicago since that passed, if I can get away without taking a bag, I will. So I guess it has the intended effect on me if there is some sort of environmental push to get people to use fewer plastic bags. But this is something that's kind of a long tradition in Illinois government, right? You sort of nickel and dime.
Well, this literally is nickeling. Yeah, right.
Yeah, exactly. In this case, literally nickeling people because you don't want to do the big action. Now, Pritzker does want to do the big action in this case, just not this year. He doesn't want to change the flat income tax and raise that. He says that even though we should point out that when he campaigned, he did talk about changing the existing tax rates potentially to make it sort of quasi a progressive tax.
Right.
Give people refunds and tax credits and things like that.
Kind of start a de facto kind of until a constitutional amendment could be implemented.
Exactly. And there's other ways to do this, right? That retirement income is not taxed in Illinois. A number of the civic groups out there, the Civic Federation is one, have called for ending that tax break on retirement income. This is money that in some cases has never been taxed, because when you earn it as income, it goes out of your check pre-tax or into a pension system, into your 401k, wherever. And then in Illinois, you get to get that money tax-free. That is multiple billions of dollars a year. And there is even a progressive argument for changing that system, because if you're an older person, elderly person, who has not been able, fortunate enough to have a pension or save for retirement, and you have to work, you are still paying taxes. So there is a way you could do that where maybe you say, okay, the first $50,000, $100,000 in income could be exempt, and then, you know, tax above that. But that is something that Pritzker has said is a non-starter. So there were other alternatives out there, but he has chosen not to do them.
Well, another thing too is taxing services. I mean, one of the things that, you know, in his speech, he was talking about issues of fairness, and indeed, that's what he calls the graduated tax proposal, is a fair tax. Opponents call it a jobs tax. But, I mean, taxing services is, I think, part of the fundamental look that should occur because of the way the economy has changed in the state.
Yeah, and that's where there have been all kinds of studies over the years that shows that we have a sort of mid to late 20th century industrial state tax structure, whereas we're really becoming a more service economy state, like a lot of other places. But, you know, as people buy, you know, the actual making of things and selling of things is less of a way that people earn money than, say, doing lawn maintenance or haircuts or
data processing.
Yeah, exactly. The sort of new economy thing. I guess we would be remiss if we didn't also say that another way he could have balanced this would have been with some steeper cuts in spending. Now, he certainly, you know, higher education is one that has really been, at least their operating money has been held steady since 2002. There has been a lot of more state money going into the pension systems of higher ed, but their operating money has been held steady for almost two decades now, and they are still haven't been made up to the level they were at before the two-year budget impasse a couple of years ago. But for all the doom and gloom that Governor Pritzker's people were out there speaking, particularly Dan Hynes, his deputy governor, before the speech, there was not as much. This was a fairly optimistic speech, and it did not have a lot of cuts, and that's something that Republicans were saying they really wanted to hear. Governor Pritzker called this a budget more austere than he would have liked. But the Republicans were not buying that line.
And there'll be a lot of debate over this as the spring session starts heating up. Brian Mackey, State House correspondent for NPR Illinois and WUIS-FM in Springfield, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Good to be with you, Rick. Happy Sunday.
Happy Sunday to you.